All right, we are plugged in and ready to rock and roll. You're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam, and it's Sunday the 12th of April, 2020, Easter Sunday here in Sydney, Australia. Great to be on board again with you for another great podcast. Everything's up on my website, krazfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z. Everything's connected there now, so website is going along great. Please enjoy. Thanks so much to the members for your continuing support, helping me to keep that website secured and up and running. So great to have your support, and keep plugging in with us as we move forward. Also, if you're out there in the world and you hear some of this content and you like it and the guests that I'm having on and you'd like to support, you can do that on the krazfiles.com. So everything's up there. I have any issues, you can contact me through there, and check out the website. You can see the social media links and YouTube and everything going up. So we're doing a lot of work lately. And it doesn't end. So we're just moving forward in a positive manner and connecting the dots and just trying to break down this system around us. So a great show tonight with Tom Barnett. And I last spoke to Tom, I'm pretty sure, Tom, we last spoke only the once. So this is the second time you've been on, and this was in regards to the federal election. And you are up in Byron Bay, New South Wales, Richmond, Byron Bay area. And we spoke to you about your vote one, Tom Barnett, the involuntary medication objectors vaccination fluoride party. And you guys did really well, considering, you know, it's a young party and you're just sort of connecting and getting everything together. Some great candidates, and that was pretty exciting times. And you did that. I guess we'll start off there. I mean, we're in amazing times. I keep saying we've entered the Twilight Zone. It feels like one of those old episodes of the Twilight Zone, you know, where it's like a kind of alternate reality. I feel like, I was saying to my wife today, I feel like I'm honestly going to wake up in the morning and say I had this weird dream that there was this virus and we were all, had to stay inside and everything. It's very strange times, and we have to adapt as human beings and work this out. We can't just succumb to it and just fall down and do what it says. We have to, as humans, think critically and work out what's going on, and that's why I like talking to interesting people such as yourselves. But let's wind back a little bit, find out how you are since the elections, and if you're going to be continuing along this lines with the upcoming elections, whenever they're going to be. How's all this going, and what's happening with this party and where you are at the moment?
Yeah, sure. Well, look, the party's still going. It's gone for a name change. So it's just gone a bit more away from the involuntary medication. So it's I can't actually release the name yet, but we're just doing a name change and, you know, really just to, I guess, broaden our public perception.
And you're still on board?
Yeah, I'm still on board. I mean, I haven't done anything since the federal election because we haven't had anything really going in our area. There was the Queensland elections, which were around a month ago. So our Senate members ran again for the Queensland elections. And yeah, I think there was supposed to be another federal election, but obviously that's been put back because of recent events. So everything's still boiling away, you know, behind the scenes with the party. I don't have a lot to do with it. I'm just there to step in when they need somebody to, you know, I guess, you know, help them along with either public appearances or, you know, putting a face to a local candidate, that kind of thing. So, but I'm still right behind them. I think now more than ever, I mean, we were talking about this sort of stuff back in the election and people just sort of, whatever. But now people are facing what looks to be mandatory vaccines and other medications. And so I think it's really important now that people start to really take notice of this, because if you don't really know what you're doing and understand your rights, you might be, you know, up against a rock in a hard place if you don't know how to protect yourself from, you know, what's potentially coming in the very near future.
Yeah, that's right. And before we kind of get into this, how was it, how was your experiences running as a candidate up there, and how did that all work out for you? I guess it would have been an amazing and positive experience, because, you know, what you guys represent, I mean, we know that we have these two major political parties, but what we want, and we said with you when we did the show, is we want other minor parties outside the Greens. We want other parties coming in here. We want more selection in Australia. And you guys represent a lot of things, not just health freedoms and stuff like that. But how was it for you, this experience? And did you get a positive kind of feeling of where we're heading, or did you just get that feeling that we're still stuck in this kind of merry-go-round of the two preferred parties, Liberal Labor kind of thing? You think that's there's changes coming? You think, can you see that Australians want these choices outside of the main parties?
Well, look, everything that happened, there was no surprises to me whatsoever. There was no surprises to me in how things went, how things were run, how things were handled. And the overall result of the election was no surprise to me at all. You had an overwhelming majority of the country still think for some reason that voting in the known quantities of Labor Liberal, you know, I mean, people have, this is the problem with politics, is that you're dealing with people who have absolutely no idea whatsoever of what politics is and how it works. They have no idea about most of life, to be honest. Most people honestly are children in adult bodies. They have no real concept of how things work in the world, what they're doing here with their own life. And that's what's reflected in the circus that is the political arena. So that was no surprise, but it was very positive. So there were a number of people, obviously, particularly in our area, that threw a lot of support behind what we were doing. They have a fair idea of what's going on in the world, and that it would be a great help to have somebody who is on their side to step into, you know, local level politics. So while I was definitely not trying to inform people that that would make a huge difference, because people need to understand that that's still a low level of government. And even if you get in and you have, you know, it's still not a win in the grand scheme of things. It's just a step in the right direction. So overall, I think the most positive part of that experience was the awareness gained. I had people coming up to me weeks and even months after that election who would see me in the street, and they'd stop me and they'd talk and they'd say, you know, oh, how did you go and how was it and how are things going? And, you know, even people who weren't so-called anti-vax or whatever, people who just sort of thought, yeah, I'd like what you guys stood for, because you were going to stand up for not being forced to do something. And they could see, you know, people who actually think, they could see, well, yeah, even if they were pro-vaccine, they'd say, well, look, I'm actually pro-vaccine, but I don't like the idea of being forced to do anything, so I support your party. So that was a really positive part. It wasn't just the people who were already against the idea of vaccination. So I quite enjoyed that aspect of it.
Yeah, yeah, I know. We've had been under attack for a lot of years in this country in regards to that, and this vaccine push and all of this is attack on our personal freedoms and health freedoms and our rights to choose how we want to deal with all this, and for our families and ourselves as well. Yep. And this is something critically missing in modern politics, and this is why we need smaller parties around to challenge in the corridors of power. Of course you do, you know, it's all a circus and it's around and around we go every federal election. Then seems like a large majority of the population gets sucked down this sinkhole and through this vicious circle vortex, and we continue the this way of voting and thinking, and nobody seems to want to change or care to change. But it's very important thing that we protect our basic fundamental rights and freedoms. And this whole coronavirus situation, it's an amazing thing. I've covered it since it started. I had a lot of different guests on. We've talked about a lot of different things. And there's no right or wrong here. I'm just trying to connect with like-minded people to look at this critically and try and break it down and put that out there for our listeners. And that's what people should be doing. But, unfortunately, around Sydney area, a lot of people are falling into line, and they're tumbling down the fear rabbit hole, indeed, with this. And so it's incredible times, and I find it too hard to break down all of it because it's just too much. It's too overwhelming. So I've been doing a lot more shows with people and myself, just breaking down what I'm putting up, breaking down what I'm seeing, looking at everything to try and form a better picture here. And I know a lot of us are. So what's your thoughts on this? I know it's hard, but since this started in China, I'll get you just to go through what you're seeing, but I'm just so concerned about what's being built around and under all of this, and what we've been talking about with you now, just on this podcast in this short time. Our human rights and our health freedom seem to be taking a battering here, and I'm very worried about aspects here. I'm just watching some things tonight which we'll cover soon in the podcast, but what's your thoughts on all of this? Obviously none of us have ever seen anything like this. It's a viral kind of 9/11, you know. It's something that happened back in the day. I remember being a kid in the 80s. I remember the HIV thing and the fear campaign there on the TV, and the Grim Reaper and the bowling ads and everything, and how it was going to kill everybody. But we didn't have lockdowns then. We didn't have lockdowns after or before 9/11. This is the first sort of time in my life that this has happened, and many of our lives. It's an incredible process that's taking place, and it's an uneasy feeling for me to be around a major city and be kind of forced inside. I don't like it. But where do you want to start? Just basically, to give us your thoughts on all of this. What's important for you that you would take out of this and share with our listeners with this whole situation in the COVID-19?
Okay, well, it depends on how deep of a rabbit hole you want me to go down, but I'll give you what I see.
Go as deep as you want, man. There's no censorship here.
All right. Okay. So the very basic premise is that, okay, I'll tell you what I think it is after I explain what the basic premise is. So the basic premise is that this is the establishment's way of I call it a flex. It's their way of determining how well, how quickly, and how easily they can control an entire world populace. So like you said, there's never been lockdowns. And by the way, every one of these, when you mentioned HIV, 9/11, there's SARS, there's Ebola, there's swine flu, everything that's been, every single one of those has been a hoax. I'll state that straight up. Every single one has been planned and has been a hoax. All of the numbers that have been put in with all of these are either fabricated or orchestrated. Everything is set up. So it's all set up because it is their way of firstly putting into play some depopulation regimes, but also to show and to determine for themselves how easily they can control the population. So I feel that what we're experiencing now is essentially the warm-up. I think the real event is yet to come. So I think what's going to happen is they'll allow people to recover from this, but while they're putting this out, they're finding out exactly how easily people will fall into line with things like lockdowns, social distancing, not going to work, accepting welfare, and all these sorts of things. And what they're doing is I think that they're also paying close attention to how many people out there that say, hang on, there's something not quite right about this, and the people that are, you know, banding together to perhaps counteract it. So I think, I mean, obviously I'm saying I think because it is just I think. I have no way of having proof that it is a warm-up, but based on certain evidence and what other people seem to think as well, is we think that this is a warm-up, and we think that if we don't play it right this time and get our cards in order, I think the next one is going to be a big wake-up call and a big headache for people who, you know, are thinking for themselves. And for those that haven't been thinking for themselves, I think they're setting themselves up for a massive slap over the back of the head, because it's going to come as a big shock when when something greater than this occurs, which I think is what they're warming up for.
Yeah. It's you got to go with your gut instinct, don't you? The belly instinct.
Yeah.
That human instinct, that survival instinct. You know, pushed into a corner, I'm a human, I want to survive. You know, what does my gut say? You know, that primitive kind of inbuilt intuition that seems to be, you know, either being bred out or is just completely vanished in most of the population. I just don't have it anymore. It's just fall into line, just tumble over. You know, it's an amazing thing. But yeah, a lot of people, even people not so into anything that we're saying now, you know, I've spoken to some, you know, some that he seems to feel like this is some kind of drill, and everything about it says that, you know, it's whatever you want to believe. It is a drill, a massive planetary drill, a restructuring, you know, things are being done now. And I think that this is all data, as you said. Yeah, it's data being put in. We heard that I was just watching tonight on it's painful, but I watched the mainstream just to keep up with what they're saying, and they had 60 Minutes program on tonight. They're like puppets, you know, but they had that on there, and they're showing in Western Australia. It's pretty brutal, man. I mean, they locked all the exits, and any way into Western Australia is locked, and they do have army there, you know, military personnel there, and they're taking their notes and they're putting in the data, and they're storing all of that, and they're questioning every single person that wants to go in about their travel and everything like that. And that's happening in Queensland. It's happening all over. So you're getting all this restructuring. It's not just about lockdowns and us being put inside. It's a whole restructuring taking place. It's a massive thing. It's huge. We've never seen this before. And they're even telling us, the politicians and the government are telling us, you know, you have not seen anything like this in this country. So it's very new for Australians. And a lot of people are scared. They don't know what's coming. There's a lot of fear mongering out there. So a lot of people don't know how to deal with this. But it's incredible to watch that. And, you know, I still don't know how far they're going to take this, you know, because it seems like you've seen this very harsh things happening in Europe, for example. America's, we've been similar to that, where it's been a bit slower, but here they've been slowly cooking us right down to the point where today, going out, it's pretty much lockdown. For the first time in my life today, we went to a local national park just to have some breakfast, take a couple of basic things to go down there about 7:30 in the morning, 8 o'clock. Took the little one down to a local national park. We've been going there for years now. And there's a waterway there. It's really nice. And I know they're open, but you can't kind of camp or anything like that. So we went in, and they're questioning everyone at the gates there. And she basically told me that you can't sit down there, that you can't be stationary, that you have to be moving within the park or you can't go. And I said to her, this is getting ridiculous. And, you know, obviously she didn't want to buy it. I didn't want to cause an argument or anything, but I never thought that I would be told that I can't sit down in a national park in New South Wales. And so they're sweeping all the beaches. I talked about this on other podcasts. They're going around to all the beaches. They're handing out fines and all of this. So this is a kind of psychological warfare to me. This is really different what we're seeing, and we can talk about that as well. What are you seeing in your part of the world up there in northern New South Wales? I'm obviously around Sydney, but is it happening to you up there as well? Are you going through all this social distancing and weirdness among people and weirdness in the shops and everything? What are you seeing with the local businesses and all of that? Are you seeing a big downturn in livelihoods up there in that area?
Yeah, livelihood. Yeah, there's a lot of local businesses, especially the small businesses, that are suffering. You know, I think that's totally planned too. That's one of those things where a lot of people were starting to realize that decentralizing the main systems and going into local community-based smaller businesses is the way to go. So this is a very convenient way for them to put all of those people out of business and then either take that business, or it just feeds all of what they were doing back into the larger centralized units. So, you know, all these small stores are closing down, but Coles and Woolworths are still open, you know. So you're just seeing a lot of that kind of thing going on. As far as social distancing, I think we're sort of lucky around here that there are still people who are just thinking for themselves, but not enough. There's still a lot of people buying into the stay at home, stay away from people, you know, put masks on when you go out, even though they're not particle masks and they don't even stop anything going through. You know, it's just, it's like it's really ridiculous what's going on. But
dust masks.
Dust masks. Yeah.
It's people driving in cars with them.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what?
It's beaches in Byron. They've put barricades up on some of the car parks. But, you know, I was at the beach the other day and there's other beaches and their beaches are packed. So I have heard of people being fined or at least offered a fine. And we can cover that in this podcast if you like, because people should know that there is no basis whatsoever to accept a fine or even talk to a police officer at any time unless you are already under arrest. And if you're already under arrest, you have to have basically been witness to have committed a crime, which means you've caused harm or loss to somebody else. There is no reason whatsoever to even talk to a police officer and therefore accept a fine, because you have to accept a fine in order for it to be a legitimate thing. So we can cover ways to do that if you want during the podcast. But basically what's happening around here is kind of similar to what's going on elsewhere, but it's just a smaller scale. I think we're much more spread out here. It's much harder to control. I think they need to put these kinds of effects in the larger cities first, like Sydney, Brisbane, Gold Coast, even, you know, Melbourne, so that is the public perception. This is what people are doing. We are locking things down. And then hopefully, I guess, because most people watch the news and things like that, so, you know, they're going to assume that this is what's going on, and therefore their mind already accepts that in smaller towns like Byron, Brunswick Heads, Mullumbimby, around where I am, that, you know, that applies here as well. But it should be known to everybody that there, even if a lockdown or a state of martial law is declared, what stands true always, no matter what, is that no act, code, statute, legislation, or rule applies to a man or a woman. They only apply to persons. So if you can just do the simplest thing of learning how to separate yourself as a living being from a person, which is an entity, which means it's a dead thing, then you can find your way through society a little easier and not have to accept things like fines from, you know, land pirates. So that's a really important key concept for what's going on at the moment, is learning how to retain your rights and freedoms as a man or a woman. And, you know, there's a little bit of learning involved in that. It's not something that most people can pick up and use straight away, but it still should be, you know, people should be starting to learn this sort of stuff.
What's your, let us know your personal opinions, no matter how deep, on the COVID-19 virus itself. I've done a podcast since this. I talked to great people, you know, put a great video up that's, wow, it's thousands. I'm hoping it'll hit 20,000 on the YouTube channel by John Rappaport. He did a three-part series on all of this, and it was kind of, he put out the audios and they were kind of loading long, so I said, I was speaking to him and I said, I'll put it up as a YouTube channel, and we've done that, and it's just been amazing. And a lot of people have been listening to that. Also, yeah, guys like David Icke and these people who are talking about all of this. So I've always had that line, especially speaking to guests like Jim West. Jim, you know, is a deep researcher on this. He wrote a book on polio and DDT and pesticides. You know, it's one of the top polio DDT books in the world that you can get. And Jim, you know, wrote an incredible paper, I think I shared with you, on the so-called measles outbreak in New York City last year and the pollution.
Yep.
And he's just done another incredible paper on New York and the COVID-19 and the fracking chemicals in the atmosphere, the pollution. He goes off everything very, very, very perfectly. And, you know, you read this paper, I'm like, this really makes sense, because it's with this virus, if you look at, you know, Wuhan, and you look at, you know, Milan, and you look at New York, and you look in Spain, and you look at the places where this virus is supposedly taking a lot of lives, these are extremely polluted and contaminated environments beyond belief. I mean, they are so disgusting polluted. I'll put an image in there for you and send it now so you can have a look. Hopefully you can see that come through. That is Wuhan in China, that image. And when I saw that from Jim, I was just like, my God, that is like some science fiction horror movie, that pollution, you know. And so we have a lot of problems with pollution. And I've always found, and we've talked about with Jim so much, that all these so-called viruses have always been a great cover for, the big polluters. And, you know, they pollute our planet and they frack our earth and they pollute our cities, and millions of people live in cities in terribly contaminated environments, and their bodies display symptoms because of this, and they got all sorts of names for it and all sorts of vaccines. And then you get the pharmaceutical companies that come into play here as well. And polio is one of the best, and Jim West has recorded this just absolutely. He did West Nile as well. And so we can talk about 5G and these things as well, and flus and this EMF around us, you know, I mean, all around us, all the gadgets we're using and everything. But I think the pollution thing to me is incredible, and I look at where this is all happening and how they're mixing it up, you know, with this, and I think this is not being addressed. We don't have the time to go too deep. What's your basic idea on this as a virus? Because as always, just like HIV and all of these, they have never been isolated. Measles, not isolated. HIV, not isolated. COVID-19, not isolated. Links to the CDC and fake computer-generated images is not isolation in a laboratory and independently verified and tested. So this one has not, and their tests are bogus, and but they're running wild with this virus theory, and it really is phenomenal stuff. And it's I'm talking to friends that just can't get it. They just really cannot see past the whole virus theory. And when I met Jim years ago, and taking the gas heating and reducing my EMF and understanding that these viruses aren't going to hurt us in the way that they're saying, and that you're not going to get viruses and flu viruses spread from other people onto you and spread it everywhere. I started thinking about this and doing research on it, and then I just couldn't believe it. It's an incredible process, but I have so much, so many friends and people that just will not, they just can't, they can't go there. They really do believe in the virus theory, and when you believe in the virus theory, it pins you down with that fear. And so they're just following this COVID-19 virus theory around, this way and that way and every which way, and they're not watching what's going on behind their back and, and every which way behind them, you know, what's being built around them, because they're so concerned about not getting the virus. My neighbors are doing it. They got masks on. They want you to stay away. And I've been walking the other day with a dog. People walk onto the road on a way around you, you know. People really do buy this. What's your thoughts on this COVID-19? Because, this is another one where they're just going off, you know, for me, really, to make it simple, pure scaremongering without actually proving that this is a virus. What have you seen from day one here until now? Give us a quick sort of mix-up of what you're seeing in regards to the COVID-19 virus itself.
Okay. Well, first of all, you pretty much just nailed it in everything you just said. There is the virus theory, as you said, is based on fear. It was never proven. Everybody who came up with the virus theory, there were always their contemporary, their contemporaries at the time had disproven that in many ways. So it was obviously that the medical and pharmaceutical organizations wanted to pick up and run with the virus theory. So you nailed it with the fear aspect, because if you can't see something and you just assume that it's there and it can attack you and it can kill you, people who can't think about things critically and creatively, which is the majority of people on earth, fear is a prime motivator in that any basic psychology text will teach you that fear is one of the prime motivators within humans. It can dictate behavior, and it can dictate many patterns, and you can very accurately dictate the patterns of a human when fear is the driving force. So there is a COVID-19 virus, but it's man-made. The way they did that is more than 10 years ago. So the patents and everything for COVID-19 were done back as far as 2006. The way they would have done that was to create just go back a step. The way that a virus is created, as I said in my videos, is that a sick and toxic internal environment, which means a sick and toxic cell, will produce a virus or viral activity, which in reality is just a cleansing action to cleanse itself, essentially. So you can create a virus and incubate it. And the way you do that is that you make some tissue sick and unhealthy. So how do you make tissue sick and unhealthy? Well, you would expose it to environmental toxins, which, as you pointed out, is the pollution, or you would expose it to radiation of certain kinds, which will weaken and sicken the cell, such as 5G and various electromagnetic frequencies. So they would have done this previously already with animal tissue, whether that's from an animal or from a human animal. They would have incubated that virus, and they would have created the vaccines from it. And they patented and got that vaccine approved in November of 2019, which is exactly when we started seeing this so-called outbreak in Wuhan. And so from there, you know, it just spreads around the world with the fear. It's not that a virus is spreading. Now, people can be getting sick, but as you said, what are the surrounding factors? You know, what are these people already sick? Did these people already have pneumonia and heart disease and liver failure and everything that's making them very, very weak and susceptible to any onslaught to the body? Anything that can damage or disrupt the health of a cell, such as high pollutants. In these pollutants that are in the air are particles of heavy metals, are particles of industrial poisons. There's only so much the body can take of that. And when people already aren't eating, sleeping, drinking, thinking, and moving well, which is what the body needs to run its detoxification pathways, then they're screwed from day one. So they are not going to be able to handle extra onslaughts such as higher electromagnetic frequency exposure. They're not going to be able to handle airborne pollutants, and they're not going to be able to handle whatever other means and methods that people have of sickening and weakening a population. And there are many. The medications, for one, there is no such thing as a medication that does not sicken and weaken the body. Sure, they may help people get out of pain. Sure, they may be able to regulate heart rhythms and things like that to prevent cardiac arrest and all the plethora of other medications, what they do in the body, but they don't come without their side effects and their downfalls. And one of those, in every single case bar none, is that they are toxic to the body. They will harden glands and organs, and they leave toxic residues in the body that have to be broken down at some point. And that is why people get regular flus. You know, I've never had a flu in my life. I've had plenty of colds, which are a minor detoxification, never had a flu. And there is no reason to get a flu, even if it's a so-called flu season. That's more of a man-made thing. You have no reason to have that if your body is continually cleansing itself. And the only way it can do that is if you have fresh air, fresh, clean food and water. You sleep well, you move well, you think well. That's the only way that can happen. And the more you do, the more you live outside of nature's laws by what we're doing in humanity, the sicker you will get and the more severe consequences of getting sick. And again, one of the only ways that you can actually get this actual COVID-19 virus is by injection. The same way the swine flu epidemic happened, that was only from injection. Same with the Spanish flu. And you know, even back in the day, they were trying to infect people with the mucus from people who had Spanish flu, and they couldn't infect them. It's like it was proven back then that a virus is not contagious. But people have just picked up. It is so easy to control how people think if you can plant that seed of fear, and therefore they don't think. People don't think when they're fearful. You know, you get people. I was on a podcast the other day, and I gave the example because they were Canadian. And I said, you know, in Australia, we have these huntsman spiders that can be bigger than your hand, and they sit on the wall. They're actually really benign, but there are people around that if they know that there's one in the next room, they need it killed before they can function. Whether they even know that it was killed or not, they have to know in their mind that was killed before they can function. And that is how the irrationality of fear can control the way that people think, or more accurately, the way that they don't think.
Mm. That's right. Fear rules, huh? It can, that's what you said, yeah, it can manifest as well. It can dictate your what you're seeing around you, the mind.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. Yeah, it can create your reality as well, and that's what I've seen here. I think that this is kind of a new thing. It's really what I said is psychological warfare. They're really playing on that on people's minds, and it takes off and it rolls from there, and you create a virus, and you get to the situation that we're in now. And, you know, I mean, how many people, it's terrible to talk about, I know, but if you're looking at big cities in China that are terribly contaminated in places like New York, and Jim was mentioning new fracking fuels that they're using that we have not been exposed to so much before, and that is in the atmosphere as well. And you know, you think, how many people die every day? Around the world. I mean, when do you stop and ask yourself how many people died in Wuhan today? How many people died in New York today? How many people died in Milan today or Sydney today and stuff like that? But are you seeing this as well? Are you seeing complete trickery in regards to testing? I'm seeing nothing but smoke and mirrors looking at that. And it seems to be that any death that happens, especially in nursing homes, are being chalked up and put into the COVID-19 basket. And watching the mainstream media and their COVID-19 specials in the weeknights is really disgusting, because it's almost like watching this. They got like this almost, what do you call them, like poker machines, you know, like in a casino. It's just tallying up the numbers of how many people they're telling you are sick and dying of this. But there's no proof for any of it. And so, you know, that's what we're seeing. And we're getting proof of that now, even through the CDC. Telling these hospitals around, and the WHO, I put an article up on that you chalk these deaths up to that COVID-19. It doesn't matter if it's not, and that's what I feel like is happening. And we put up an incredible paper from Italy, from this this sort of basic Department of Health there, saying that they probably have very few coronavirus deaths, because all these people that are dying had serious complications in regards to their health and underlying pre-existing health conditions that they already had, you know, and they're passing away, and they're tallying it up to this, and it's really sick what they're doing. Is that what you're seeing? Before we get back into the virus itself, are you seeing that kind of fear mongering through the media? I know, as I said, it's painful to watch, but even watching it tonight, they're still doing it. And last night as well, I just had a quick look at the late news, and they were still doing this fear mongering. It seems like the media have really found their place here. More than what they were settled into in 9/11. I mean, that was bad enough, and how they operate. But this is so almost stealth. The media in this regard with COVID-19, it was like it was already prepackaged, and they knew exactly what they were going to do. I guess maybe, Tom, they're just told to sit there, and they get fed the information, and they just mimic it. They just parrot it, you know. But it's really been a disgusting display, and they're scaring the public into submission. As you perfectly said there, yeah, once that fear seed gets planted in the minds of the people in the public, it gets into the driver's seat, and it starts to control their lives without the host, the person themselves, even knowing it. And it rules. It rules by fear itself. And they don't know what direction they're going in. And all these kinds of paranoias and things come into play. And then next thing they know, they're just following every single order and everything that they're told in that perfect manner without actually taking a step back and stripping off all that fear and saying, hang on, I've got to start thinking for myself. I'm living in a fear state because of what I'm watching in the TV. And for me, out of any other thing that I can think of in history that's happened to us, no matter what it is, this is the worst media display that I've ever seen. And most people are saying that they just can't watch. They can't watch it. It's really disgusting. Are you seeing that as well? That they're just pushing more fear here than we're actually seeing a virus? Because I'm hearing a lot of hospitals aren't overflowing, and I don't know anybody who's had this or tested for it. I'm not seeing it anywhere. They're telling us to get off the beaches, and we can't sit down, and we can't be here, and we can't do that, and we can't do this, and we can't do that. They're shutting everything. I'm not seeing a single sick person. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is unbelievable. To answer your question, though, no, because I don't watch any kind of media. I didn't even know that my videos were famous until my mates were telling me. And then apparently I was dead too. I don't know if you heard that one, but I'd been assassinated and taken out. Oh, I never heard that either, so I was fine.
Who am I speaking to now then?
Yeah, clone. But look, no, I gave up watching any kind of media, social media, regular media, newspapers, whatever, about probably 15 mm-hmm. years ago that would have been. I could see it back then, you know, as I was growing up. It was just ridiculous. It made me laugh. It was so pathetically laughable that I could not fathom how people could let that stuff into their mind and take it seriously. But look, you're right about a lot of things you just said. There are several independently verified events or cases of hospitals being completely empty, running on skeleton staff. They're not overflowing at all. There's just simple stuff like the amount of people who, like you said, the real stats, and most of those are made up anyway, but the official stats are so low for coronavirus. And, you know, 500,000 to 1 million people die every single year of influenza. So why aren't beaches closed every winter because of influenza? Why aren't beaches closed every year because of some, you know, flu or cancer? Maybe you can catch cancer by looking at somebody now. You know, this kind of mentality that makes no sense whatsoever, but is being peddled by this, you know. I mean, it's so funny because for me, it is so hilarious that news and things would try to do this, but then it's not hilarious because you look at the majority of people who are eating it up and just taking it as fact without ever, you know, they don't see the humor in it, whereas I'm laughing at it and I can't, it's kind of like a little not funny, you know, that people are taking it this seriously. And, you know, it would be, if nobody watched the news, there'd be no coronavirus. That's basically the end of the story.
That's right.
There would be no coronavirus if people did not watch and pay attention to media. It wouldn't exist.
That's the cure, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not watch the media and you're cured.
That's it.
I know. I hate it. I don't let it bring me down. I do it for the show and I try to take it all and break it down, you know. It's there, whether we ignore it or not. It's part of everybody's lives. So I try to get hopefully more people on board by breaking it down like we are now and making them see, making them look into that mirror and realize, you know, what is this? Why has this media passenger been with me my entire life? And why do I allow it into my life? Why do I put so much faith and trust into the media and this anchor man? And we've done whole podcasts on that, the set colors, it's almost like people are being hypnotized when they turn on that 6 and 7 o'clock media every night. And the news anchor man, he hypnotizes you. And we've talked so much about that, how they go to the different reporters, they've got the same tones in their voice, the same hand movements. It's an astonishing display of in-your-face brainwashing that's really, you can just click your fingers and work it out and it starts to just crumble, you know?
Have you seen those montages that people have put together where they've got news reporters from around the world and one will start and then the next will come in and finish their sentence, the next will come in and finish the next word? Like they're all literally reading from a script. All around the world, the exact same script is going to every news broadcast. And the interesting thing about that is, there's a lot of interesting things about it. But if you look at things that you mentioned before, people are fascinated by these numbers going up on death tolls and things like that. I made a joke about that in my first video as well. Like it's an Olympic tally and they're just transfixed by this morbid fascination with death rates. But like it's an Olympic tally. But the funny thing about that is that movies have shown us and offered to us, and we haven't given a non-consent to it, they've offered to us this idea of lockdowns in many, many movies before. When Anchorman came out, the Will Ferrell movie, which, you know, a lot of times people cloak truth in humor. Oscar Wilde had a quote that if you want to tell people the truth, make them laugh, otherwise they'll kill you. And Anchorman showed when they said the news used to be about the news and reporting and journalism. And then they brought that car chase up on the TV, and the directors are saying, you know, put more graphics on and put more this on. And then it's just transfixing people. And it went from 80-something independent stations to everything being owned by three, and then realistically now everything being owned by the one unit. And therefore, that is why you are seeing the same story peddled out through every media outlet throughout the world. So it's certainly not an accident. It's very well orchestrated and controlled. And you know, this is, and then you have something like The Simpsons, which shows all of this in all of its obviousness to everybody, if they're willing to see what is actually hidden within the humor. They've shown many times how to be immune to like advertising, for example. They hide it in songs. You know, they put it in there, and then people think, oh, that's a song, or oh, that's a cartoon. It's not reality, but it is reality, and they're actually showing us exactly what's going on, who's behind it, why it's going on, and what the solutions are. But only a certain amount of people ever pick that up.
Yeah, social manipulation and control, isn't it? Social engineering. And through the content, and well, that's what's happening now, isn't it? When there's so many holes that get plugged here for the system, because when everyone's in isolation and locked down, you know, and everyone's using more bandwidth, they're on the computers more, and the kids are studying home, and dad's working from home. Then this is a great entrance for 5G. It's an amazing system, and we've talked a lot about on this podcast how they tell you what they're going to do. This is the way it's always been. We're showing what's coming, but it's wrapped in a package of entertainment and laughs, and so you know that means that we watch it. It goes into our subconscious. We know what's coming in the future, but when it does come, we think that it's just entertainment, or we don't take it seriously because the lines between reality and fiction have been so blurred, and so we don't take it seriously. That's the way that it is, and so they show us everything. You know, even as you said, in simple things like The Simpsons and movies and comedies and TV shows and the news, and everything that they show us is manufactured in just that perfect way to kind of get us to laugh at our own demise, and not only that, to accept it, but also to protect the people that are doing this to us behind this system. And so it really is an incredibly engineered and, unbelievable thing. When I look at it, it's like a spider's web behind that. It's incredible to look at it. It's social engineering to the highest order. And it's not just looking at a cartoon or something and saying, this is that. It goes much deeper, and it just keeps going and going and going. But once you're consciously aware of it, you can actually watch it, and it just makes sense to you, and you just think this is ridiculous. But a lot of people don't; they do buy it, and that's what's still going on today. But it's amazing, and I see even on big street, like mainstream radio stations like Triple M radio, and a lot of the big morning breakfast radio shows and TV chat shows at night, they're all kind of making fun of us being locked down. You know, this is a new thing that's happening. They're making fun of it. They're making jokes about it, but there's nothing to joke about. And you're seeing that a lot. And I'm seeing all this content where all these celebrities, this surreal kind of behavior where all these celebrities are all plugging in via Skype and things, and they're all singing and everything. There's all these like late night American talk show guys where they're at home in isolation and they're on their laptop and they're connecting with all these guests and they're singing via Skype. And now we have all these Australian celebrities who are singing in front of their crackling fires in their mansion, and they're telling you that we're here for you. We can get through this together. We're locking you down. You're locked in your house because of a completely false pandemic. It's the whole thing's staged. This is all mind games. And where you are consenting to being locked in your homes and to abiding by all these social restrictive laws and, you know, and everything that we're putting out there and all these new draconian measures that the government's putting out there, social distancing things and everything like that. You're going to abide by it and you're going to like it because, you know, you're with us and we're with you and we're going to get through this together. It's really surreal what's happening. And as you said, if you turn all that off and you just sit in your own silence and, you wouldn't even know that this is taking place. You wouldn't know that this was even happening. It's really amazing how the television is being pretty much predominantly used, I'd say almost 100% used to push this COVID-19. Wouldn't you say so, Tom, that this has all been done through the media? It's really clever because I know 9/11 kind of was as well. That was different because it was these buildings. And in the old days, we had these so-called black plagues and we had the Spanish flu and things like that. Where there wasn't so much technology, but now because people rely on technology and their phones and we live on them so much, this lie is being pushed mostly through that system. And it's incredible to see an entire planet fall to their knees and buckle and remain under this total hypnotized control through devices and television sets.
Yeah, well, a lot of people have prophesied that since well before smartphones and mobile phones were even in existence. It's like, it's pretty much the analogy to use is that you have a population down there, you know, in the fields and you're up in your castle on the hill and you create highways and byways down there, which scatters people and puts them all within them. And then you just run a poison through those highways and byways and you can systematically either control or take out whoever you like. And that's basically what's happened with giving people these technologies that, knowing full well how the human mind and ego works, that a human will generally fall into the hypnotism of these devices, the convenience. You know, you give them to them and then, you know, you try to take them away. Watch most people try to function without their phone. They'll collapse and die just from not having a phone. So they're that attached to these. I mean, me, I couldn't give a shit. Like, I barely take my phone with me and I can't wait for the day I don't have a phone. I was been thinking for a long time of just getting a landline, but, you know, I barely use my phone anyway. So, you know, I don't have that, but I see it so much around me. And it is exactly what you said, is you put something into general circulation and that it's under the guise of, oh, we're improving people's lives. And now you can do all these things on your phone. You can connect with people and you can do this. But all it is really is setting people up for the way that they will infect you with whatever it is that they plan to infect you with. And you nailed it. It's basically using these particular methods of or these communication mediums to put into place their plan. If we didn't have them, it wouldn't, like I said before, we wouldn't have a coronavirus. I mean, having said that, you know, every other pandemic that has been a hoax and staged didn't rely on smartphones, but the way that they've been able to execute this lockdown has been, I think, the phones and everything has been instrumental in that lockdown.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And what do you think about, what are you seeing? Because, you know about the government and everything and you've studied all of this. I mean, I've said many times on the last few shows that we've lost more freedoms and health freedoms and rights with these lockdown laws. There's even politicians coming out saying that it's really astonishing. What they're doing, the laws that they're passing through Parliament just to, on the back of this coronavirus. And many people are saying, will these laws be taken away once we start to, as they call, bend the curve and we start to get out of this? Whatever they're doing on the back of this, there's a lot of complexities here, but whatever they're doing, you know, will these laws that they've brought into place just simply disappear, Tom? And as I said, I was listening to the 60 Minutes show tonight, and the way that they're saying it now, they're almost telling you now on 60 Minutes tonight here in Sydney that they're going to start relaxing. They're going to start taking the chokehold off and allowing us to maybe start to get some of our lives back, see how the game works. And I kind of thought to myself, this is like that old trick where you're in a restaurant and you take the tablecloth off the table and you leave all the cutlery and everything on the table, you know? It's yeah. like the cutlery yeah. and all the plates and glassware represents all the new rules and draconian measures that they've brought in underneath the coronavirus, and the coronavirus is the tablecloth, and they just pull it off and it's gone and you can go back to your normal life. You can go out and play, but this is what's left in its place. And that's what I feel. Because you've had your time in politics and running for a party and everything, and you know about this, what's your ideas on all of this that I've just said? And what's, what you know, such an extraordinary amount of losses we've had in regards to our freedoms and everything. It's really astonishing, and no one seems to be too concerned with that. They're more worried about getting a virus.
Yeah, well, and that's the play. That's exactly how it was designed. So I guess to go back and answer your initial question, no, these so-called laws will not go anywhere. That's the whole plan. So everything that a government wants to enact never happens in peacetime, because people would say, bugger off, I'm not having that. Why would I let you lock me in my house? So they have to unleash a fake virus in order to get people into enough fear where they say, that's a great idea, we should have that. And the government says, thank you, you're asking for it, we're going to put in what we wanted to put in, but we couldn't have done in peacetime. Same with during the wars, they introduced the idea of the taxes. It was supposed to have been relieved after the wars, because the taxes were supposed to be there to fund the wars. And then obviously they didn't go anywhere because they were making too much money, and then everything stayed in. So again, the thing with that, the interesting thing is that every system that we live under is actually set up very nicely in our favor. The thing is, we're never actually told how to use it. So that's why we get sucked into paying fines, paying taxes, thinking that we have to be put into a lockdown, when the reality is we don't, because as I mentioned earlier, no act in the land anywhere applies to a man or a woman. Acts, if you read an act, and you can read hundreds of acts, you'll never see the word man or woman in there. So all somebody has to do is learn how to differentiate themselves from their name, which is a dead entity, and not answering to a name. Otherwise, you have to act on behalf of that name and pay a fine that is given to the name, or have a lockdown that is being given to the name, or whatever. But if you're a man or a woman, none of that applies to you. So that is going to be a key factor in people getting through this and whatever is coming next, which I think will be even heavier. But no, whatever's being put in place now, you gave a good analogy with the tablecloth there. It's not going anywhere. It's just setting things up for tighter regulations in the future. And I don't know what the end game is. That's the thing. I mean, it can only get so tight. And then after that, what is it? It's just it's an obvious enforced prison that everybody's in. And then what's the point of that? So I don't actually know what the end game is, but I do know how to play the game that we're in now. And it would really pay for people to learn this stuff. And that's what I will be doing another video. And that will explain this side of things about how not to accept a fine from a police officer, and how not to have to fall into lockdown. The problem is, what happens is they set things up so well that they don't actually have to do anything. They pit us all against each other, and they put enough indoctrination into people's minds that you have five people thinking for themselves, and they go, well, why would I sit in my house? It's ridiculous. You can't catch a virus like that anyway. There probably isn't even is one yet. And then you have 5,000 other people yelling at you and throwing rocks at you, telling you to get in your house, or otherwise you're a belligerent fool. So they don't even have to do anything. They just pit us all against each other. This is yet another divide and conquer, the way they've always done. It's just, you've probably noticed yourself. Tell me if you have or not. But around here, me and my friends were talking about this the other day. We all got together and we're saying, even people who were your friends, it's when times get to like this, you find out who really is or isn't going to be behind you, you know, because they start to look at you differently. Oh, you're that guy that doesn't stay in your house, or you're that guy that isn't putting hand sanitizer on when you go into a shop. You know, you're the enemy now, and these people were, you thought, your friends. So it's really only when the chips are down in situations like this, you start to see who falls into that fear mentality and who, you know, there's so many people. I could just give too many examples, but even today I was at a friend's place. We're in their garden, and the guy who's usually very freely, you know, come into the garden, pick some ginger, do whatever you like, he was really, really, he didn't use his words, but he very obviously didn't want us in the garden. And me and the guy that were there, we said, isn't it weird? Like, we, even if there was a true shortage, we'd be like, well, you know, there's here, we'll still share food. If that goes, then we'll just get more. There's always a way. You'll always find a way. There's always more food. There's always more whatever. But then other people lock their minds down and they get very defensive and they get very territorial, and they really have this thing against anybody who they perceive is a threat. And so, you know, a lot of it has to do with just pitting us all against each other, which is another divide and conquer. And they don't actually have to do that much themselves.
Mm. Yeah. So that's right. We police ourselves. That's what this has done. Yeah, big time. Yeah, I'm seeing it everywhere. It really is. It's amazing. You know, having friends pushing that rhetoric of the mainstream media. And you know, you got to be careful, because if you say that you don't believe in any of this or whatever, you know, they do. They see you as an enemy. And I was saying that on one of my last podcasts. It's like one of those movies where there's a pandemic or a zombie outbreak, and you got like a family locked in a cellar, and they're in there, and they let a stranger in, you know, who's says he's not infected, but he's trying to get away from the zombies, and they let him in, and it disrupts the flow of the whole unit in there. Yeah. And then they distrust each other because they let this stranger in, you know. And I think they're locking people in their houses, you know, and it's you could start getting that, yeah, among family units and neighbors and stuff like that. There's all this mistrust, and I have never seen anything like it. And not only that, what is more astonishing to me is how quickly this was done. It was done very fast. You know, it popped up in China. It started spreading, they said, and now everyone's in lockdown. There's this mistrust. There's this weird behavior going on. It's really, really strange. There's people attacking one another. It started off with maybe someone's coughing on a train or a bus, and someone thought that was a selfish thing to do. And now, you know, there's actually attacks taking place. There's more today on the news where people are attacking each other in supermarkets and things. There was this whole selfish buy of products and toilet paper, me, grabbing things for yourself and stuff like that. It's really incredible display to see happen to human beings so quickly and everything like that. Yeah, and as you said, it's so true. Yeah, you really do find out who your friends are, who buys into this and who doesn't, or who at least questions this. And you could have your own family members who just see you as a denier, and that you could be a threat to them and people they know. Mm-hmm. So this is a weird aspect of all of this. And I think, as you said, it's right. It's a divide and conquer technique. And I think that that's because I was likening this to uprising around the world that we've been seeing over the last few years. And we've got a few minutes left, but I was seeing this too. I've been talking a lot about the big protests in Chile and Santiago, you know, started over, you know, train, metro tickets. And then you got a million people on the streets, a million just in one city. The French, you know, street riots and problems, they have not stopped. We had them in Hong Kong. You know, there seems to be this, we were supposed to see huge global 5G, you know, protests taking place. And people, you know, I'm seeing it everywhere. There's big 5G groups, there's communities, there's mums and dads and kids going to the council chambers. They're talking, they want answers. The social media, our websites, us talking, us connecting. There's this massive display of awakening happening, if you want to say awakening, but there's this huge, you know, display of people getting together and you know, not buying so much into this system anymore. And it's really incredible to see. And I think that now what you have is shut up, sit down, stay in the corner. we'll tell you when to come out. And that's it. And they've done it. And you see all these cities around the world that were having these protests, and now there's no one on the streets and they're all inside. And a virus did that, or the threat of this viral outbreak around the world did that in such quick time. And so we see years and years of people displaying their anger and their outrage and their confusion at the systems and the governments around them, hitting to the streets, trying to really force and make change. And then almost in seconds, they've done this and, just pushed everybody in their houses. As I said, just sit down and shut up. And it's an incredible display of power, but also manipulation, as I said. And, and they're forcing you inside, and they're telling you that anybody who questions the COVID-19 pandemic is lying, and you need to watch the mainstream media while you're inside. You know, they're forcing everyone inside while they're inside to watch that. It's like incredible to watch. Everything that I put up, especially on YouTube, has a COVID-19 WHO thing attached to it. I'm getting text messages on my phone every day from, mobile companies and government things telling you about COVID-19. Everywhere you go now, there's, posters and signs up, and just, you drive along and there's like council things up flashing. It's like They Live, that movie They Live, where he puts the glasses on. It's an amazing, amazing, amazing thing. And it's just, it's got more intense. And today I went out, it was just incredible. There's, not really anyone around. And there's just all these signs up telling you to stay away, and that the social distancing, to do what you're told. COVID-19. That's why I said in our last podcast, Tom, it's almost coming out of the drain pipes underneath your feet, out of the toilet. You can hear it. COVID-19, it's coming out of the TV, it's coming out of the radio. Every time you wake up in the morning, it's all you can hear. And it's incredible. The prime ministers are getting it. The prime minister over there in the UK, he's got it, and other celebrities have it, and they're at home. I've never seen anything like it. And it's an amazing display to me, what's going on. And I honestly, as you said, I don't know where we're going here. Because I did say on other podcasts as well that people are talking about 5G. I can see a massive restructuring here. I can see a lot of things come into play where people are put back under the boot. They're put back into control. We have a much more of a police state, control in every country around the world. We have a massive AI takeover of technology. You can see in China that's happened, where these cameras are taking your temperature and stuff like that. We're going to have massive changes in the airports. We're going to have more restrictive measures for everything that we do. We're going to have very strict vaccination rules and regulations come into play here, not just for kids going to bloody childcare. This has come into primary school, high school. It's going to come into everything. I think this is going to come into adult life and travel and everything like that. And we just heard from Australia Prime Minister Scott Morrison say it, and now the Canadian Prime Minister said, and I've got that article right in front of me, no return to normality until a coronavirus vaccine is made available for the public. He is saying in Canada that you're not going back to normal until there's a vaccine. And so now they're mentioning, they're spreading all this fear-mongering that even if we start to go back to normalcy, there could be carriers in the public that don't know they have it. And so you won't be able to really properly function in the new society unless you've had this new vaccine that's coming. That's what I'm seeing. And this could come into play with regards to just living your normal life, work, and definitely travel and airport travel going through, domestic and international airport travel. I'm absolutely seeing a new vaccine becoming a big part of our lives on the other side of this. What do you think about that, man, and what that's done to all our rights and how how much we've fought over the years to protect our civil liberties and our health freedoms. They could, on the back of this, just make this absolutely mandatory, and they're already doing it. They're doing it for nursing home and nursing home staff in Victoria, all healthcare workers, mandatory flu shots. I'm seeing this, and that's a real worry for all of us doing this, Scott. I think it's absolutely a big worry. Are you seeing this, Tom? Sir?
Yeah, I'm definitely seeing that coming. But again, that only applies to persons. It doesn't apply to men and women. But how about this? Every outbreak movie and zombie movie you've ever seen, what's the solution at the end? What saves the day?
The hero?
Well, don't they always carry a needle? Isn't that
they're trying to find or you generally have someone, a hero who's taking a little girl who's immune, and they want to take it to a laboratory, yeah, and work out why she's immune so they can make a vaccine, yeah.
Exactly. They extract social engineering. They make this vial, and it's like, yeah. And then, you know, that's already in everybody's heads from years of indoctrination in that regard. Amazing. But you are right. That is what this is really all about. Well, one of the things it's all about. That's only part of the loss of rights and freedoms. One is going to be this attempted forced vaccination. So, again, that is why it's so important to get to know what that's going to apply to. It's only going to apply to persons. So you're going to have to do a lot of, homework on this to really figure out how to protect your own rights and freedoms, because every man and woman on earth still has autonomy over their own body. So that's a big topic. That's why I'm going to make this third video to help to explain that. But it's coming for sure. I think it's already here in a lot of cases. It may be the case where some of us who don't want to be exposed to that, we just won't travel. You know, we'll travel by road, we'll travel by boat, but we won't get on airplanes and go through airports and things like that, because people have said that it won't just be a case of, you know, going through with, say, a medical certificate to show that you've received a vaccine. They'll actually be able to scan you, because you'll have nanotechnology injected into
you. That's right.
And their scanners will show whether or not you have had this coronavirus vaccine. And if not, you may be, and if you don't know how to stand your ground and protect your own rights, there's every chance you could be dragged off by security into a small room and injected forcefully against your will. So that's not out of the question. That's a scary thought, but it's not out of the question. And I think people need to consider this as a reality going into the future and really get down, you really knuckle down and learn about how to protect their own rights in situations like that. And it may just be, honestly, I've been talking to friends recently, just anyway, we've wanted to do this for 10 years before any of this crap came around, was to get some good land in, you know, like good quality land with nice soil in a nice place, and all live on there as a community, grow food together. You know, you've got plenty of, say, spring water on the property, and just, you know, it's self-sustaining, so that in the event that something goes really bad, which I think may come in the future, that you don't have to rely on the roads and, you know, getting around and relying on shops that are very fragile, because, you know, I mean, most people around here anyway, we get our food off farms. None of us go to supermarkets and, you know, shops and things like that. So we're already around this part of the world, and I guess in a lot of places in the world too, we don't rely on what most people rely on. But the majority of people are going to be screwed, because that is a fragile global supply chain. You're talking about supermarkets where most of the food comes from another country. Mm. It's all based on, you know, supply chains, which can very easily crumble in an economic collapse and so on and so forth. So I think it's going to get to that time where those that are willing to take responsibility for themselves to create their own, way through life and take responsibility for what they create moment to moment, they're the ones that are going to survive through this. And I really can, without being a doomer, I really can see that there is a large depopulation event coming, whether it's in the very near future or whether this is the test run for what will be a depopulation event, whether that's a direct action via, you know, forced vaccines and chemical warfare and, you know, whatever, God knows what weapons they've got developed now that can blast a whole city apart in one in one go or whatever. Or whether it's that slow decline, like the last time that happened in a plague way was I think it was around 1311. What happened there was the Spanish banking system collapsed, and it's chalked up to the Black Plague and things like that, but it's really just dysentery, because once the banking system collapsed, people starve.
Mm.
And so they're literally starving to death, and then disease kicks in because they are starving to death, you know. They die of dysentery and other conditions. So that's what happens when a society that is built around a fake banking system that can go at any time, whether orchestrated or by just collapsing because it's full of its own bull dust. So that can happen, and that's what will happen. And unless people are self-sufficient, or at least going that way, and know who they can rely on in their community, know that they can rely on themselves because they're not useless. They haven't allowed a government to, you know, spoon feed them and that for their whole lives, and they don't know what food is or where to get it or what water is and where to get that, and you know how to get around without a motorized scooter or a car. You know, all these things that society has bred us to rely on. If the more people are reliant on that, and the less they're able to function, and the less their mind is able to function, the greater trouble they're going to be in when all that stuff disappears. And those that have been called hippies and losers and tinfoil hat wearing idiots are the ones that are going to survive, because we have been thinking for ourselves for a long period of time. We have wrestled back a lot of our own responsibilities for ourselves, and we've got a much greater chance of you know, surviving a depopulation event.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. That's true. And yeah, well, we'll continue to work, and technology is a big one here. Smart cities, this dystopian kind of smart cities that we're going into. That's what's happening. And this whole technology agenda going around, it worries me a lot, especially with 5G and this wireless technology they're implementing. I am hearing that everywhere. I'm seeing it for myself. I'm seeing towers going up that weren't there before. And on the back of this, what's happening now? And a lot of people are saying that. And so I worry about things. Tom, I've covered the so-called asthma storms in Melbourne, where that was very strange to me, where, you know, people were just brought down choking to their knees. Mm-hmm. And we're supposed to believe that that was global warming now, that it was, you know, these grasses blowing yeah. in from the city, when you had a city of people in Melbourne, Australia, being choked and with yeah. these terrible asthma system symptoms. And we heard that from a doctor in New York as well, saying that he's not seeing kind of this viral display, if you will. It's almost like people are being put on the top of a mountain and haven't been given time to acclimate. They can't kind of
yep.
breathe. And that kind of looks like a weapon system to me. This is mm-hmm. what I worry about, you know, this kind of systems that they're putting in now. You know, and I think what you're saying there about communities, that's going to become more and more important, I think. And, you know, but that's a big worry, the whole technology thing, and where they're going here. And I do predict a big technology shift on the back of this as we go into the next 2 years. I think we're going to start seeing a lot of technology come into play as they push 5G yeah. through. It's going to be big, you know, and I think it's all going to be wireless, and we're going to become IT. We're going to become this system, and it's going to become us. We're going to get consumed by it unless we make a change, you know. So, you know, it's something that's there, and we have to talk about it. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether you think it's negative or whatever it is, it's there, and we have to work our ways around this or through it, and work out what's going on, and try and kind of stick together as a community and keep talking about it. But with all of this, Tom, with all of this that's happening, all that I keep thinking of is this kind of technology shift. That's what just keeps ringing true to me, that something is going on here with technology, and it's being built and implemented around us right now. And I think this is a big thing for them. To get this in. And I think our fires in Australia, you know, the wildfires and bushfires in Australia that we had, this is all part of this as well. It yeah. almost seems biblical, I know. just like the fires and now the viral plague. It's almost straight out of the Bible, I know. And people are saying that, you know, it's really crazy. But yeah, we had the big fires in 2020, and now we've got the virus, and now we're going to get the technology shift. And I think if people want to know what the devil is, it's the technology. That's what it is. That's what the devil is to me. It's the technology, because it's in the wrong hands, and I think that's where it is now. And that's what they're doing. They're putting this stuff everywhere, and we need to keep a handle on this and keep our eyes on it, to watch it like a hawk. And I get worried about the people being pushed off the land and everything. You know how hard it might become for people to live self-sufficiently on the land in communities, what kind of new laws and regulations they're going to bring in. But as you said, you need to have your wits about you, and you need to study all of this and understand your rights and everything like that, because things are coming to the point where, you know, you can't sit on your hands anymore. And, you know, so I think the best thing we can do is just keep connecting like we are now, and sharing this info and talking, and keep on social media for as long as we can. Keep going. Great show. Great to talk with you. Before we plug out now, I will say that we should connect maybe once a month at least. To cover the latest, to cover what you're seeing, and to give people real alternative information and news, and so they can make a change in their lives. And so I'll keep in touch with you and work out that. What do you want to finish on here? On what's the last thing you want to say, give advice to people? Because I don't want to be negative to people. I want to start giving answers and positivity. And it's really hard. It's a scary time that we're in now, and I understand that. I really do. And people are worried out there, and they don't know what's coming. Give us a quick roundup on that, and how people can contact you, and then we'll plug out.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so, great point too. I mean, everything we covered is kind of look how bad things are and look at this vice grip that's about to close on us. But again, that is well within our capabilities to just not allow. A lot of this has been prophesized for not just in the recent past, but for centuries. It's been prophesized that exactly what you said, the technology will be the downfall. There's a lot of people who've said that all the more advanced civilizations before us that went away and then things started again, it was because the technology got too vast and they were unable to control it. You have Orwell's 1984, you have Terminator's Skynet that gets turned on, and there's just several. It's been prophesized for a long time. So we know what the dangers are. We know what to try to avoid. And perhaps, I agree, let's stay in contact, not just you and I, but people in general. Yes, use social media because it is a useful tool. It's not just, I hate the stuff, but it's got its uses. But don't forget that the way to connect with people is to connect with people. I think a lot of people are too reliant on the technologies that is going to be the downfall. Mm. So at least have that awareness, use it, but use it wisely. Don't rely on it. Don't forget to go and visit your neighbor. Don't forget to go and visit your friends. It's this human connection that I think we're losing, and that human connection is what will keep us together and bring us through. People like me, like, I'm not stressed. I have no fear surrounding any of this whatsoever, because I know who I am. I know that I can protect my own rights if I need to, but I also know what's going on, and I have a full faith and trust in, I just have a full faith and trust in the fact that there is no such thing as all good or all bad. So even though we're seeing a potentially all bad event at the moment, that doesn't mean, just like the yin yang, the day, night, the life, death, the balance of everything, it just because you can't see or you're not aware of the forces of good that are also acting at the moment doesn't mean that they're not there. So I think having just a little bit of faith and trust that things can work out, the only way really that you can bring yourself down is by bringing yourself down. If you're somebody that's stressed or fearful, just look in the mirror. That's the only reason you can be stressed or fearful, because people like me aren't. So we're all reacting to the same event. So why are some of us reacting and therefore acting differently? You know, I'm not acting out of fear. You're probably not, you know, but a lot of people are. So it really comes down to getting the idea that you do have full control over how you act and react in the world. Some people are going to have to do a bit of self-education to go along with that. But at the same time, just have that faith that there are people working away. You don't know who they are. You've never seen them. You probably never will see them. But there is always, always that opposing energy or force that is helping to bring balance to the world. And you can do your bit for that too by, you know, not allowing fear to creep in, because that fear is what the enemy really is. So if you can alleviate that for yourself simply by having some trust, then I think that's going to go a long way to helping to improve the situation for everybody worldwide.
Mm. Well said. I agree. And yeah, absolutely. It's really allowing it in, isn't it? We consent to it, don't we? We turn on the TV and we open the papers, we allow it into our lives. Unknowingly, we consent, and that's how they get us. It's real all trickery, you know. So you have to be on top of it and control it. But I think awareness is the key, and sometimes awareness is ugly. It's not a nice thing. But you can't just shove it away and ignore it. You have to face it and work it out and find a positive way around and walk through and continue. But it can bog you down. It's not an easy thing, you know, but it is the layers of an onion, man. Tom, it is. And if you ignore it and put it to the side, it builds up like an onion, you know, and it's you don't realize that fear's there, but it will be there. It gets under your skin. It gets in your nightmares, you know, and you need to stop and work it out. And you know, and go from there. So that's what we need to do. Great. And can people contact you, or I'll just put your where would you like people to contact you? I can put your Facebook link up and stuff like that.
You can put that. I mean, I can send you link. I can send you my Facebook and my website link.
Great.
It's good that I'm really happy that people have, you know, followed me and things, but I barely use social media, so don't expect a lot of posting on Facebook and that. But I will put that next video about how to protect yourself legally on Facebook. I'll put it on YouTube as well. So generally they're going to get taken down within a day like the last ones, but at least I can put them up and other people can download them and re-upload them in other ways. I'll send you those links and you can maybe put them in the show notes and then people can see how to contact me. And I'm more than happy to do a monthly thing with you, Adam. I think you're doing great stuff. Always like having a chat with you, because you're definitely a guy that's, you know, thinking and asking the right questions of yourself and of the world around you. And I really respect that, and I really appreciate it. So I'd definitely be happy to, you know, do a weekly catch up and see how things are going and see how we can make, make plans to make things better for ourselves while this is going on.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes I'm a bit hard on myself, you know, but, there's no ego here so much, you know. I'm just trying to learn myself. I'm learning a hell of a lot off you and others, and I just want to talk, you know, and want to communicate and learn and get that knowledge out there and get people to listen and comment and stuff like that. That's what it's about. I feel like, more than ever, I'm really here to learn and gain knowledge and work it all out for myself. And that's why it's amazing just chatting with different people and doing this, and I'm glad that I've stood up and all these years and got to where I am and have a website. It's a great achievement for myself as well. And the people around in different countries listening to this, it's a great experience to do that. And I'm not scared at all. I'm happy to do this, and every day I learn more, and that's the thing. That's the key. The key to me is awareness, and then working out what way you want to go there. So important. Yeah, we'll absolutely continue. I think it's really good. It's great to get an Australian perspective too here. And get that out to people. And people are busy, and they don't like the media, and they like to listen to podcasts and hear our research and what we've got to say and connect with that. So it's an important thing to do. All good. Yep. Yeah, send me those show links through so I can put them up, and we'll connect again soon.
Yeah, we will. Hey, I've got one last thing for you.
Sure.
I think a good question for people is to ask themselves, what did they do while this was going on? I think that's an important thing. So in the future, you know, as the when you're looking back and you maybe telling your kids and your kids are asking, it's like, what did you do? And that's why I love what you're doing, because you're not afraid to put this stuff out there and ask the questions. So I think it's really important for people to ask themselves, did you stay in your house? Did you make some baked beans on toast? Or did you actually start asking some questions and help to get us out of this, you know?
That's right. I did that the second on 9/11, you know? As soon as they started playing that, I started thinking, you know? I wasn't just looking at the subtitles down the bottom. The buildings are falling. The terrorists did it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this. Every time that they do this, and it's happened right throughout history, it's continuous. They're always doing, this is always taking place. You need to always, you know, look at it critically and break it down and start talking with people and finding out what's going on. You can't just fall into place and do what you're told. You have to think about it and start, you know, asking questions and connecting. Like you said, yeah, I know. It's a worry. It's a worry there, Tom, because as I said to you before, I don't know what's going to be left in this place, and I don't know what our kids are going to have. You know, it does concern me, and I don't want that. You know, I don't want my child to grow up in a draconian kind of police state. I don't want that. You know, I want them to have the kind of lives that we did. You know, I don't want our country to go that way, and we're worried about it, but we have to find a way around this and a way to beat it, you know. And if we don't talk, we won't do that. And if you sit on your hands, as you said, and eat your baked beans on toast and watch the news and just stay inside, yeah, what are your kids going to ask you, you know? They're going to turn around and ask you, what did you do, Dad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how did we get to this state that we're in now? I didn't do anything, you know. It's we have to try. We have to try. And
that's right.
So, yeah, good point. I think that's, I do agree with that. I think that's a good point, and we have to. So, great. Yeah, we'll continue, man. We'll continue, and I'll send you through to you when I'm done for you to share, and we'll go from there.
Awesome. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate that.
Thanks, man.